Hebrews chapter 10, we've been preaching a series of messages. This will probably be the last one unless God instructs us different. And we've been preaching on why we do what we do when we come to church. And so last week, last Sunday night, we started looking at Sunday school, why we have Sunday school. What is the idea behind Sunday school and the training and the teaching that we give not only the children, but that we get here at the church. We're never too old to learn. Amen. And if we think that we've learned it all, then we're really messed up. I mean, if I thought that I knew this whole book, I'm like Brother Fred Wilson. When you can quote all of it, you can quit reading it. Amen. You can do that. But I can't quote all of it tonight, just not even a portion of it. But listen, Sunday school is very important. And then we looked at singing this morning, singing in the choir, congregational singing, special singing, the purpose that it has in the service, and that is to praise the Lord. And we should praise Him with singing. There's no doubt about that. We sing that seven times. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But tonight we come to the point, and that of what I'm about to do, and that is preaching. What preaching has to do in the service. I ask you to stand to your feet one more time, and that in reverence of reading God's Word, and then you can be seated, and I'll preach tonight. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promises. We sing this morning, that's why we can hold on to our profession of faith, is because He's faithful. And let us consider one another, provoke one another, or devote unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we just thank you again and that for the wonderful day, the Lord's day that you've given us. But it's come preaching time now, and we certainly need you. And Lord, we just need you to come by. We'll preach in your power, not in my power tonight, but in yours. Lord, I know that if it's in yours, it'll get something done. And Lord, we just beg of you to help us tonight in this service. And maybe somebody here tonight that's lost. God, I pray that you just speak to their heart, deal with them, that they might be saved, might be young, might be a young lady, young man or woman, boy or girl, might have come to the place where they've realized that they're lost without you and need a Savior. And I pray that they'd come and get saved tonight. Lord, I pray you to remove all hindrances and that from this service tonight. Thank you for Beulah Land, Lord, a place we're going to go to one day after a while. And thank you for heaven that you've given to us tonight, your children, and I thank you for that. Again, I ask you to help us preach now. Thank you for Jesus who loved us and died for us. Say that sinner's new as hell for these things. In Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. As I start in verse 25, he says, not the forsaking of the sin of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And we look at that and I ask the question, why do we assemble together as God's people? And as I already said by way of introduction, we come and that to be taught, we come and that to sing, but we come and that to preach and to be preached to. Amen. I'll be honest with you, as much as you need preaching, so do I. I need just as much preaching as you do. I need help in my life. I need it just as much as anybody else does. Just because I'm the preacher, I does not mean I don't need it tonight. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. Some folks think they can get away without preaching tonight. But I'll be honest with you. We all need sin killing, Bible preaching, King James Bible in our life tonight. You need that, and I need that. Amen. Help me out now. Don't go to sleep on me. I know some of you sat home coming today and ate a big meal, but Paul Henry, don't go sleep on me tonight. But listen to me tonight. Let me say that preaching is a very important part of the service tonight. When we come, can I say quickly tonight that God calls a man to preach? Amen. God calls a man to preach. Churches, I don't call a man to preach. Mom and Dad don't call a man to preach. Men don't call themselves to preach. But God calls a man to preach. The Bible says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Boy, he asked a bunch of questions there, didn't he? And he said, how beautiful as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's the preacher's job tonight, amen, is to preach the gospel, and I'll deal with that here in a minute. But God calls a man to preach. He not only calls him, but he calls a man, amen. Ladies, y'all know I love you tonight. Listen, my wife's a woman. My mama was a woman. I'm not anti-woman. But listen, God, I laid out in his book how he wanted things to be. And that's just how it is. And I ain't about to apologize for the way God set it up. Amen. He set it up that way, and that's the way it is. Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that a bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. The disciples were men. The priests were men. God set it up that way, and that's the way it ought to be today. Amen. And let me say this quickly about the preacher before I move on, that tonight the preaching is not about the messenger, but it's about the message. Amen. Listen, you can look everywhere a lot of times in Scripture, and I know that God names preachers, but there's a lot of times in the Old Testament, as we've seen, it might have been a Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, that God just sends who he'd call the man of God through, didn't even tell you his name, didn't even tell you where he come from, just said the man of God showed up, and the man of God left, and that's all you knew about him. You know why? Because it ain't about the man of God. It's about the man that the man of God's preaching about tonight. Amen? And that is what is important. Number one, God calls a man to preach, but then he calls him and that to preach the gospel. The gospel is the most important message that I could ever preach out of this pulpit tonight. Why is that? Because it saves little boys and little girls and men and women and young men and young ladies tonight to keep them out of the devil's hell. Amen. I mean the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came and lived and died and was buried and on the third day rose again. And if you believe that in your heart and ask Jesus to save you, he'll save you. Amen. I love the simplicity of the gospel. Why do you think God takes unlearned men and men that just ain't much and use it? Hey, listen, he don't need learned men. He needs men that would be willing to learn about him and that to preach. Amen. Listen, tonight, the gospel is very important. Bible said in Romans chapter 1, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Ready to preach the gospel, death, to burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, Paul makes a big statement in first. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tonight quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he makes a couple of big statements over here, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you look in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. Now, prior to this, Paul's just been talking about who he's baptized and who he hadn't baptized. And he makes a statement right here in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, if baptism got you saved, Paul wouldn't have been able to make that statement right there. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He said, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Why do you think that you can take a backwoods preacher that can't hardly read and write his own name, but yet God put a touch on him, and he reads the scripture about what Jesus done, and gets up for 20 minutes, and expounds like a wild man, and then folk come and get saved? What are you going to say about that? But yet you can take a man who is learned and can read real proper and speak the best English, and let him tell you about Jesus. And he don't have to be like a wild man. And folk can still come and get saved. Because it's the message. It's not the messenger. Now, I don't like boring preaching. This fella used to come on me. I better be careful right here what I say. But let's just say he come on prior to me for a radio broadcast that I was on one time. We won't say what radio station it was. But man, he was, bless his heart. Let's see if I can do this. He talked like this the whole time. Very quiet, very subdued, and just told matter of fact the way that it was. But you know, back in the 1700s, they said that Jonathan Edwards preached that message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he had hand-wrote every word that he was going to say. And he stood behind his pulpit, and they said it barely above a whisper. He read that message. And men and women got so afraid of being in the hands of an angry God that they would literally pick their feet up off the floor, afraid that they were going to slip off into hell, because he got to talk about that rotten covering that was over the earth, and men just slip off at any time. It's the message, friend. It's the message. I know that. Listen, I like preaching that's got driving. Listen, he did tell Jeremiah to smite his hands and stamp his foot. I understand those things. But tonight, when God calls a man to preach, he gives him a message. And the first message is the gospel. Amen. When the gospel does not come out of this pulpit, you're to run me off. Amen. Amen. I'll be honest with you now. When I've got some other motive or some other reason of preaching other than to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loved us and died for us and saved us, if you're saved tonight, listen, if I've got some other reason other than that to be behind this pulpit, I need to quit. Amen. My drive ought to be to honor Him. Come on down in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul said, "For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching," looky there, "to save them that believe." Takes preaching. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." Ain't that something? You flip over to the next chapter, and Paul said, For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know why you're saved tonight? Because Christ went to Calvary. He ain't on the cross no more. He ain't even in the tomb. But listen, it was because of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ that He took my place and your place at Calvary so we could be saved. Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Takes the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. It's the preaching of the message of the gospel. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 8, when Philip got down there around that eunuch and he was reading down the book of Isaiah over there, and the place that he read was talking about where he was led as a lamb done before the shearers. And in his humiliation, all was taken away. And Philip goes up there beside him, and he says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I?" And he said, "Is this man speaking of himself or somebody else?" And the Bible says, at the same scripture, Philip began to preach unto him Jesus. Can I tell you tonight, it is about a man, and about one man and one man only tonight. That man named Jesus. I'm glad I've got a relationship with Him. Do you tonight? I hope that you're saved. I hope that you have a relationship with Him. Can I tell you tonight that salvation is very simple? I mean, it's very simple. Preaching should be plain and be simple. Now, I really believe that tonight. I mean, of course I would. I'm not that deep. But listen, Paul talks about the simplicity of the gospel. Over there, he thought that they'd been beguiled like Eve had been by the serpent from the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel's not hard tonight. The gospel's not hard to believe. The gospel's not hard to accept. We make it hard to accept. Preachers make it hard. Sunday school teachers make it hard. It's not hard to get saved tonight. All you have to do is believe that Jesus lived and died and was buried and rose again the third day and know that you lost. And He done all that for you. And if you'll come and get saved, if you'll come and ask Him to save you, He'll save you. Is it really that easy, preacher? It's that easy tonight. So simple the child could know it and that a child could do it. But preaching. Talking about preaching that takes place in the service. It should be on the gospel. Then it should be against sin and against sin's consequences. You know, there's always consequences to sin. Amen? Is there not consequences to sin? I mean, we understand that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I think we understand that tonight and have a grasp of that, to realize that when we sin, listen tonight, if you're lost and you're in sin, it's going to kill you tonight. Romans 6:23, for the wages of death is sin. But you know that that same thing stands true and that for God's people tonight. If you want to fool around in sin, you can. If you want to deal around in sin, you can. But my job and my position as this pastor of this church tonight and your preacher is to tell you that you're fixing to get in trouble. He told Israel over there, Isaiah did. The Lord told him, he said, cry aloud and spurn on and lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. My job. You know, the funny thing about it is how that the preacher knows about your sin. Now remember what I said? It's not about the messenger. Have you ever sat under preaching where you just knew he was a peeking in your window and reading your mail? What was you looking at Miss Lois for? He was looking down there at Lois, boy, like, boy, he got you right then. I was wondering about that. Is she good at tattling, is she? Hey, man, that's how the preacher finds out some things. Hey, can I park right here and say just a minute? I told y'all this maybe about 3 or 4 Sundays ago. There are things that I learned. Now, I'm sure y'all learn things on me, don't misunderstand me. But there are things that come across my desk and across my phone and all kinds of things. Good things. Good things that's going on in your life, and sometimes it's not so good things. And so, yeah, I do learn some things. And that's where I have to be careful. It's when I know things of what's going on in your life. I have to be careful with that right there. But see, it's when I don't know, but God knows, you see. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the preaching that you need. Man, I've stood in here and preached things that I didn't even know why I was preaching them. And wondered why I'd preach this and preach that. And then somebody come to me. I remember one time, and I was standing at the back door shaking hands on the way out. And I remember somebody come to me, one of them did on the way out, and said, preacher, you remember that message you preached about 6 months ago? I'm like, I just got done preaching one. How about that one? Amen? But they said, you remember that message you preached 6 months ago? So that thing really helped me. See, you don't know, you see. But God knows. God knows when we all need tuning up. God knows when you need to be reminded about your sin and that you need to deal with it. Psalms chapter 19, David said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I believe it's my job in that to get you ready for the week. I believe when we come in here on prayer meeting night, it's my job and that to try to help you to get through the rest of the week. You know, when I go to the nursing home on Fridays, you know that I go over there and try to preach to them people something to get them through the rest of the day. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I just try to go over there and preach them something that might help them till sundown. I hope it goes further than sundown, but I'm just saying I want to give them something that'll help them. Do you know your sin needs to be preached on? My sin needs to be preached on. My sin needs to be dealt with. Because listen, as long as there's sin in our life, then there is going to be a wall and that between us and God. There's going to be a problem in our relationship with the Lord when there's sin there. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Interrupts your prayer life. So he said, preaching, cry loud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. Your sin and my sin. You know, Paul asked them at one time over in the church of Galatia, he said, am I therefore become the enemy because I tell you the truth? Some of y'all think I'm against you. I'm not against you at all. I'm for you. Amen. Amen. I'm for you tonight. I want you to understand that. I'm not against you. He said, I mean, listen, he's always preaching about what we're doing and what we shouldn't do and what we should do and all these things. I'm just trying to help you. Trying to help me, just trying to look into the scripture and see what God would have. Hey, listen, when I preach on separation, it's not because I don't want you to have some fun. It's because I want to keep you safe and that out of the world tonight. He said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He said, love not the world. Love not the world. Not that you love God here in the world here. He said, love not the world. Worldly things. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed that you may what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be different from it. Separated out of it. Not to look like it, not to sound like it, not to dress like it, not to smell like it. I want to look different, sound different, be different. When folk look at me, they say, hey, there's something different about that fellow right there. He don't talk like us. He don't act like us. Something different about him. Wouldn't you like to have that testimony tonight? Different than the world. It's all in how you want to serve Christ tonight. The one who loved you and died for you. If you're saved tonight, he gave himself. Don't you want to please him tonight? Don't you want to be an honor? Don't you want to be a vessel unto honor, not to dishonor tonight? Preaching. Preaching. Need preaching. I need preaching. You need preaching. We need preaching on separation. We need preaching on sin. We need preaching on salvation. We need preaching on the scripture itself. On right doctrine. He said, preach the word. That's a big old book, Daniel. Big old book. Preach the word. There's enough in there to preach a million lifetimes. I mean, for a book that is breathing, and that is, what did he say? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. God breathed on it, come alive. It's inspired by God. It's a living book just as much as God made us a living soul. Listen, when he breathed in us the breath of life, he breathed into this book something, friend, that he is not in any other book. Preach a million lifetimes and never get it all preached. What was, let me see here. Is it in the book of Luke over here? Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. I believe it's in the book of Luke. It may not be, but I'll have to go back and look. Might have been in the book of John. Let me say that. Where it talks about if everything that had been wrote about the Lord, that could have been wrote, said the world wouldn't even contain all of it. Ain't that amazing tonight? If he would have just wrote, yeah, here it is, John chapter 21, and he said, verse 24, this is the disciple which testifies of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. He gave us just a partial glimpse of himself in this book. He said, boy, I'd like to see God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know about God? Go look at Jesus Christ and you'll learn all about him. But we ought to preach right doctrine. He said, preach the word, be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. People hate doctrine. They hate that word. They're afraid of the word of doctrine. The word doctrine simply means that which is taught. That's why you can have sound doctrine and you can have false doctrine. I mean, that's all it means. Hey, listen, if I'm not going to preach a doctrine tonight, then I ain't going to preach nothing. You ain't going to get nothing out of this message out of this book. I may give you some ideas. I may give you some opinions. I may tell you what I think about some things. I may get on my soapbox. But if I don't preach doctrine, you ain't going to get anything. But preach it. Preaching needs to be the scripture. You ever watch folk get up and... Now I'm a stickler. I'm a stickler for reading my text verse. Always have been. Because preachers ought to preach the Bible. And I've watched them boys get up, and maybe they need to be taught a little better. I don't know. I get up, and boy, they never open their Bible. They never quote no scripture. Hey, listen, if they quote scripture, have at it, man. Help yourself. But you never really find any scripture in all that mess that they call preaching. Listen, do you realize it takes this book down into the heart of men and women to change them? It's not the messenger, it's the message tonight that's being preached. You got to get a hold of that. When you get a hold of that tonight, it changes your whole outlook of what church is all about tonight. But the right doctrine, the right book, the right manuscript, the right message with the right motivation changes everything. My job is to tell you the truth out of the scripture. My job is to feed you. My job is to, and I'm being faced tonight, my job is to feed this flock. Feed. I'm talking about preaching. Why do you have preaching? One is to present the gospel. Two is to tell you about your sin, to get separated out of it. It's going to cause you heartache and pain. 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. He said, feed the flock. Acts 20:28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Church is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Very important. And he said, feed the flock. We're compared to sheep, ain't we? I told my wife, I said, there's been years that I've thought about if I had to put more ground on what we've got now, that I'd like to keep some sheep. And you know, they say, and I've never kept no sheep. They say they're dumb animals. They say they're dumb. You can take it off down here to the road and it can't find its way back up here. But if you take a black alley cat up there and dump it off on the road, he'll beat you back up here. They say that sheep, he can't find his way back. I say that sheep will eat so much that he'll bloat himself. Eat too much clover, he'll bloat himself. If he falls over on his back, I watched a video the other day. There was a sheep who was loaded down with all his wool, and he had flipped over. She had flipped over on her back, and her feet was just up here doing this number right here, and she couldn't get over. She couldn't get back over on her own. The shepherd had to come through, flip her back up, and she took off. Hey, that one sheep that had left the fold. Remember, there was that one sheep. He couldn't find his way back. The shepherd had to go get him, you see. And when he laid him on his shoulders, so he had two legs here and two legs here and had him laid up around his neck. They say if you let a sheep get flipped up on its back too long, it loses all its feeling in its legs. Legs will go to sleep, I reckon. Something similar to that. And he'll have to carry that sheep. That sheep can't carry itself. You get away from God and you get in the same shape that sheep's in. You can't help yourself. The shepherd's got to come along and pick you up and carry you. My job is to feed you. You know something tonight? If the sheep wants to get away, if you want to get away from church and get away from preaching, you ain't getting nothing to eat. You can look at me and tell I love to eat. Love to eat physically. I love to get something. I mean, I love to eat something that tastes good. I'll be honest with you. I love good stuff. Let me say this right now. I love things that taste good. Not necessarily that are good for you. Amen. But you know what? I'll even sit down and eat some things that are good for you and don't taste all that well. Simply because I like to eat. Do you know that this scripture is the same way? There's some things in here that I love to hear. I love to hear about what the Lord Jesus Christ done for me. that He gave Himself for me and that He died for me and that my sins are forgiven. There's a home in heaven waiting for me and I've missed hell and all these things. I love that. But when you begin to tell me about how I need to live for Christ and separate out of the world and I need to become draw closer and closer to Him and get myself under control and all these things. You know where He said, be angry and sin not. And I had to put off the old man, put on the new man. And all these things. That gets a little tough to take sometimes. But feed. Preachers should feed when they don't feel like it. 2 Timothy 4. Before I read this, let me ask you something. How many of you all have not ever felt like how many of you just ever felt that you didn't want to come to church? Wake up on a Sunday or a Wednesday and did not want to come. You did not want to hear this loudmouth preacher. You did not want to hear the choir sing. You didn't want to have nothing to do it, but yet you came. And sometimes you left in worse shape than how you came, and sometimes you left in better shape than what you came. I told my wife, we were talking about some things the other day. I said, look, if I got up behind this pulpit and just was raring to go every time I got up here, I wouldn't get up here half the time. I'm talking about physically. Now, physically feeling well and just have a drive to want to go and listen, but there's something about... Let me put it to you like this. How many times do you reckon the shepherd moved his sheep from one field to another because he was out over here, but yet he had to move them over here in the rain just had to get them over here, and maybe he was sick and he didn't feel like moving them, but he had to do it or he knew they were going to run out of food. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe he had to fight the wolf even when he didn't feel like it. Because he knew if he didn't fight the wolf, then he knew that they'd come in and get the sheep. Why do you think in 2 Timothy that he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season? There's sometimes that it's going to be easy for me to preach. And there's going to be other times it ain't going to be so easy for me to preach. Now there's a lot of reasons for that. One, it might be the message that I'm preaching and you don't want to listen to it. And two, it might be that I just don't feel good. But I still preach. Why is that? That's the preacher's job. I mean, you need a preacher. I need to preach. Hey, listen, Jeremiah said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Like a man gets called to preach, he's got some preach in him. He's got to do something. So when we come together, it's for teaching, it's for singing, and it's for preaching. I should care, and I do care, about what comes out of this pulpit, whether I'm preaching it or somebody else is. Very few times have I had to stand where I'm at now and correct somebody else. But there's been a few times over the past years, in almost 18 years, that I've had to correct a few because they had their doctrine on. But preaching needs to be done. And what I mean by that is a lot of times we want to sing heaven down. And I like it when it gets good in the choir. I like it when it gets good in special singing. And boy, folk begin to praise the Lord. I like that. And God just comes by and rolls by. And I'm going to tell you, you know, there's about only one time that I won't preach, and that's when folk are coming to get saved. Other than that, I'm going to present the gospel. I'm at least going to present the gospel because folk need to hear it. Folk need to hear it. Say, well, we're going to wait for the big preacher to come by, and I hope that the Lord always does come by. But I'll be honest with you, you know, if you go back to the Old Testament, there was one, maybe two times that we read of that the Lord's glory showed up in the temple and the tabernacle that the priests were not able to perform their job. Every other time, they were performing their job. You understand what I'm saying tonight? You need preaching. You need preaching. The church is built on preachers, on preaching. Men that preached the truth and told the truth. Preaching. Need preaching tonight. The church needs a preacher, and we need it. Now, let's bow our heads tonight. I don't know what you're going to do with the message tonight. I pray it's been a help to you. I pray that it has. Heather, won't you come piano tonight and sit down and play? Brother Jeff, let's get a verse up here tonight if we would. Preaching. Do you listen to preaching? Or say, well, Mark, he's just carrying on. He's just carrying on. Preacher's just carrying on. He didn't mean me. Yeah, I meant you. Because here's the thing about it. I meant me too. That's the thing. I meant me. Maybe tonight you find yourself lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ never being saved. I want you to listen to me now. I want you to listen. If you've never been saved, Christ Jesus loves you. Came and died for you. And listen, he's on the right hand of the Father now. Boy, after he rose and ascended back to heaven, he's there now to hear your prayer. And he'll save you. He'll save you if you'll come to him tonight and ask him. Maybe there's some sin in your life. I've been very vague about sin tonight. Just kind of played real light about that. But maybe there's some sin that's in your life tonight. Maybe you need to deal with that. While she plays, do you need to come? Do you need to come? Deal with that sin. Let God help you. Let God deal with your heart and you with him.